Good evening, and welcome to Tezeh, Around the Labyrinth. Once during Lent, and at least one more time at the December 31st service, we try to have the labyrinth out for you to walk. Walking our prayers is very important. Part of the incarnational nature of Christianity. There's something about the embodiment that is walking, that really grounds us in this temple. And the church has in its history not always honored the temple of the flesh as an appropriate vessel for God, but we have learned a few things in the last 500 years, and so now we are able to affirm the physicality of walking as part of praying. It can be. It has to do with our intention. Any walking with the right intention and staying present can be a prayer. But it's easier if we have a sacred space. So this labyrinth is a model, a scale model, of the Chartres labyrinth, which probably dates till the 13th century. And that was a pre-scientific age where things did not have to be proven to exist, and people were imaginative enough to give meaning to all sorts of things. And so geometry was one of them. And this is a sacred geometry. It's put together with particular proportions and arrangements. In the Chartres Cathedral, if you were to collapse the rose window wall, the rose window would land on that stylized rose in the center. And the rose is a symbol both for Mary and sometimes for Jesus as well, but especially for Mary. In terms of walking the labyrinth, it's a metaphor for life. So you can't do it wrong. If you get lost, you just find another place and find out where you are. One woman said that she was walking it and she got lost, and she just picked up a path and ended up back at the beginning again. So she just started again. So there's no wrong way. The guideline is that when you enter, you are releasing that which gets between you and God. When you are in the center and you're invited to stay there, some people stand, some people sit. When you're in the center, that's the place for illumination, for insight. And then as you go back out, you reassemble, you reunite that insight with the rest of your life. I have found that insight and illumination and reunion can happen anywhere, but that's the classic interpretation. You walk the white, and the entrance is right down here. You'll see a place, and you walk the white, and you notice it curves all around. It looks like you're going to your goal, and the next thing you know, you're way over here somewhere, just like life. If you want to pause where and reflect, the purple areas are, you can just stand on those for a few minutes. If someone is walking slower than you in front of you, it is not impolite to walk around and go at your own pace. They will go at their pace, you will go at yours. We encourage you to walk in your sock feet unless you need your shoes for stability. It's not that there's something unsacred about shoes. It's just that we try to keep the canvas clean. But we would rather you walk than not walk. And if you don't want to walk, you can trace the one on the front of your program. You can walk the labyrinth at any time in the service. Even during our silence, the long silence that we have, if you're on the labyrinth, you can keep walking. Sometimes if there are enough people on the labyrinth, you can hear the feet. You can hear the scuff of the feet against the canvas, and it's a really soothing sound. The Tezeh community, as far as I know, does not use the labyrinth, but we have found that the Tezeh service lends itself to the labyrinth because the music that we sing, which is prayer, the silence, the spoken word, all of those add to the experience of those on the labyrinth. If you, just for safety, or especially we're not in the deepest part of the pandemic, but if you want, when you stand at the entrance, wait till the person in front of you gets to the first turn before you start. If you forget, I think it's not a big deal on this sacred space. So we are going to be singing, and you will be joining us, hopefully, repetitive chant-like music. If we're singing in Latin and Latin doesn't fall trippingly off your tongue, you may sing in English at the same time. But these songs bring us closer and deeper into the communion with God that we all want. Later on in the program, I will give you some instructions. We will have a prayer station over by the altar, and you may wish to go and be prayed for over there. So let us begin with our first song.
Oh, Prayer for a Labyrinth Walk by Jean Sonnenberg. O God of many paths, I stand before this labyrinth today, metaphor of my journey to you. In the Western world, I have been taught that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And being an impatient person, I am uncomfortable with waiting. I have often modeled my journey to you on the straight line. But you, God, of infinite patience, have shown me that there is another path, a curved path. On this path, my anticipation is heightened as I approach the center, only to be led out again to the periphery. But this path more closely resembles life itself. On this path, if I just put one foot in front of the other, it may seem at times as if I am not approaching my goal, while in fact, I am drawing closer all the time. But you are a God of surprises and mystery, and I don't control the path. The labyrinth is a symbol of my surrender to mystery, trusting, not knowing for certain that the path which curves in and out again ultimately leads to the center, which is you.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? From the first epistle of John, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Thank you.
Going to enter into about a 10-minute long silence. And sometimes we need a preparation. Those of you on the labyrinth already know where your feet are going. You can feel them. You can feel the labyrinth canvas beneath them. Those of us that are still in our seats might notice our feet, but also our sit bones. Those of you at home, you might be sitting in a chair or maybe sitting on the floor, just noticing the support the earth gives you. And as you're noticing that, just allow your breath to be soft. Your ribs get softer, and the breath might get deeper and slower, but you don't have to change it. It just changes. And those of you that are walking, you might notice the space behind you as you walk forward, just bringing it to your awareness. The space in front of you is there because our eyes are there. Space above you. The space below you on the ground. Those of us sitting in whatever fashion we are sitting can do the same thing. Notice what is behind us, not looking, but just taking in the awareness of the space behind you and the space above your head. And then bring your awareness to the place right above your nose and between your eyebrows. This is the place where sometimes we are, our temperature is taken by those digital thermometers. It's also happens to be a sacred place. The wisdom seat is right behind that. So in your imagination, walk yourself back from that space into the center of your head, right between your ears, behind your nose. That's roughly the top of the spine. So we're going to use the 7 cervical or neck vertebra as steps into the heart space. So we're taking wisdom into compassion and combining the two. So we take one step, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh. And now we enter the chest area, which is the home of our physical heart. But the heart space extends as much as 3 feet all around us. And in this sacred space, compassion and wisdom meet so that we have wise compassion and compassionate wisdom. It is also the place where we meet God. Our divine self and God's divinity meet there. That's because it's an infinite space, is where everyone that we've ever known or will know can be touched. It is a sacred place, and we're carrying that with us. Those of you on the labyrinth are walking that sacred space with your own sacred space. And those of us not walking, we too are sacred spaces. The disciples saw that Jesus was a man of prayer like no other, and so they asked him to teach them to pray. And he taught them, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We come to that portion of this service where you are invited, if you wish, to come forward for healing prayer and anointing with oil in the tradition of the church. There is a couple of seats over on the other side of the altar. Sarah is going over there now. She will be praying with you, and we will continue singing so that there is a privacy, but also because the singing keeps the healing energy going. And so we will do that with the singing. Because you have touched the sacred space within you, you know now that you are never alone, that wherever you go, the Spirit of God dwells within you. This is a source of great joy and peace, comfort in time of distress. May it be so for you. Go in peace.